Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Roland Chris Blog Talk Radio Station, Pathways to Excellence, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. From regulatory developments to fiduciary news and practical tips, tune in to Roland Chris for your step-by-step guide to achieving compliance and confidence in a new fiduciary era. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Chris host.
Welcome, everyone, for this podcast on the Pathways to Excellence channel, sponsored by Roland Chris. I am Christy Arthur, Director of Fiduciary Solutions at Roland Chris, and your host for today's podcast. Our topic of discussion today is audits for ERISA-qualified plans. Now, during our last podcast, we discussed GRC solutions, governance, risk management, and compliance for ERISA-qualified plans. Ron Hagen of Roland Chris talked with us about how a proper governance structure is the key to protecting plan administrators and plan participants. During today's podcast, we're going to dive a bit deeper into a specific element of plan oversight, and that is audits, primarily to address the concerns recently expressed by the Department of Labor in regard to qualified plan audit errors. We will hear from our panel experts proven ideas on how to rectify the common gaps that exist between business practices and federal regulations in regard to audit services. With me today in the studio are our guests, Eric Ernest, partner, and Michelle Brumfield, audit director, both of McConnell & Jones, one of the largest and most prominent accounting firms in Houston, Texas. Eric, Michelle, it's great to have you both with us today. Welcome to the forum.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Absolutely. Eric, as a partner with McConnell & Jones and a member of the Employee Benefit Plan Assurance Audit Team, and Michelle, you as audit director of the McConnell & Jones ERISA Assurance and Compliance Services Division, you both work closely with both the nonprofit and corporate sectors, and you've both long worked with executive leadership and industry service providers in attending to the needs of the McConnell & Jones diverse client base. You have tremendous experience that elevates our discussion today. I want to gain your insights as to the DOL's recent findings from their review of Form 5500 audits. But before we dive into that subject, I want to jump back a bit, if you will. Michelle, can we talk first about why plans undergo an audit, and what are the intended benefits of this specific compliance exercise?
Thank you, Christy. To give you a quick background, about 4 years ago, the 403B plans were not subject to audit. Because the DOL felt like there was no oversight on these 403B plans, a regulation was passed to require 403B plans to be audited the same way as the other defined contribution plans. All defined contribution and defined benefit pension plans with over 100 participants require an audit per DOL regulations. I believe that the DOL does not require plans with less than 100 participants to be audited because it would be cost prohibitive for those smaller plans. An audit is required to help plan sponsors comply with their legal responsibility to file a complete and accurate annual return or report. Secondly, a quality audit will help protect the assets and the financial integrity of employee benefit plans.
Okay, so I'm hearing you say, again, we're coming back to process as a means of protection. That's kind of ending up being a theme here at our forum. So thank you so much for that, Michelle. So now I'd like to talk a bit about what our members have likely heard about in the media. The DOL recently performed a review of Form 5500 audits, through which they determined that 39% had what they refer to as major deficiencies. Now, That 39% is a significant increase over the deficiencies found in their original 1988 study, where 23% were found to be defective. Now, the DOL is stating that that 39% represents $653 billion and 22.5 million participants who have potentially been placed at risk. And while I'm sure we all share some concern given those significant numbers, it's hard to understand the true scope of the issue without proper perspective. So, Eric, would you mind giving us some insight as to the deficiencies that are causing such a stir? And what is it that is concerning the DOL the most about what it is they've discovered?
Thank you, Christy. As Michelle just mentioned, one of the functions of the audit is to protect the assets and the financial integrity of employee benefit plans. And as you can see from these numbers, there's a huge number of plans that are considered to be at risk because of the deficiencies in the audits that the Department of Labor has discovered. And when we talk about deficiencies, just to give you some perspective on what that means, when the Department of Labor selected a sample of, I believe, 400 plans to audit, they looked at the work papers that were prepared by the plan auditors, and they were surprised, as was I when I read the study, that in some cases the auditors had not performed sufficient work to support the opinion that they were rendering on the financial statements. In some really extreme cases, they found that there was actually no work done at all to support the opinion that was being rendered on the financial statements. So those were the key findings that they had.
So just to kind of reiterate, those two findings were either an issue of insufficient work, not enough work, or perhaps incomplete, and in other areas, completely undone. There were areas completely left undone in the audit, very important areas within the employee benefit world.
Correct.
Michelle, I'll kind of bump to Michelle now. Michelle, I'm curious to know, in your professional opinion, how did we get to this point?
Well, Christy, employee benefit plan audits traditionally have not received proper attention by the auditors and by the regulators, like a regular financial audit does. We got to this point because, number one, lack of sufficient oversight by plan fiduciaries and plan sponsors. The plan administrators are chasing the lowest cost of these employee benefit plan audit services versus approaching the procurement of audit services within value and expertise in mind. Second is the lack of sufficient oversight by the AICPA and the DOL because they were not looking at employee benefit plans as the peer review program in the peer review program as closely as they should. As a result, more inexperienced firms offer employee benefit plan audit services to enhance the revenues, which in turn ties back to what the plan administrators are doing to cut down costs. In addition, some plan sponsors are now investing in hard-to-value assets, which are very difficult to audit. Lastly, there is a lack of sufficient oversight by audit firms internally. So as a result of these low fees they were charging, the staff usually assigned to these audits were inexperienced, which resulted in poor audit quality work. In short, the perfect storm.
Absolutely. When you've got plan sponsors that are looking to cut costs without that, you mentioned approaching the procurement of audit services with that value and expertise in mind. And when you have these plan sponsors cutting costs without those things in mind, with inexperienced firms out there trying to take this on, indeed that is the perfect storm. So in response to these findings, in response to everything you just shared with us, Michelle, the DOL is now proposing a few changes to try to deal with these issues. Those changes appear to be falling into three categories: changes to the reach of enforcement, legislative changes, and an education effort. Eric, McConnell & Jones is a highly experienced, highly respected firm. Your staff has performed thousands of audits. I'm curious to know your thoughts about these three DOL strategies, and would you by chance propose anything different or anything in addition to three strategies?
I believe that the Department of Labor is on the right track, and they have been gaining a lot of traction with their three-pronged approach with enforcement, legislative changes, and an education effort. In the area of enforcement, the Department of Labor has recently started reaching out to the state boards of accountancy across the nation and are ensuring that the peer reviews that are performed on the audit firms include employee benefit plans as a must if that particular practice has employee benefit plan audits. In the past, these usually went unnoticed and were under the radar, but the Department of Labor is now insisting that the peer review programs include employee benefit plans as well. On the legislative side, there's a couple of things that are in the works right now. One of the big pushes the Department of Labor has been asking for a while has been to move from a limited scope audit to a full scope audit. And a limited scope audit would require just a certification from the trustee, and the auditor is not required to perform any work on the investments. And as you can imagine, as Michelle mentioned, these plans are starting to have hard-to-value assets in their portfolios. So that kind of gives a little bit of heartburn to the Department of Labor. The other thing on the legislative side that the Department of Labor is doing is trying to bring in some legislation where the auditors would be on the hook and have some skin in the game when there is a failed audit. Right now, if there is an audit that is deemed to be a fail under the Department of Labor inspections, the employer is on the hook and has to pay all the fines that are associated with that. So there are a couple of changes on the legislative side that are up for discussion. And definitely education. I'm a firm believer in education, and I think until you educate auditors, until you educate the plan sponsors, it's going to be hard to make a change because, as Michelle also mentioned earlier as well, that you need to approach the procurement of audit services with value and expertise in mind, and that cannot be done without the proper amount of education. And I believe that with all these changes, we can bring together a positive result in the world of employee benefit plans.
Absolutely. Michelle, you and your staff have worked with thousands of clients over the years, and Eric just shared with us what needs to change and what is changing from an industry perspective. In your opinion, what needs to change from a client perspective?
Yes, Christy. I believe that the client and participant behaviors can also be changed through education, which in turn will trigger an impact in the industry as a whole. Plan fiduciaries and plan sponsors need to understand what their legal and fiduciary responsibilities are and ensure that they have programs in place to receive education on fiduciary responsibilities, investment valuations, and auditor selection. Attention should also be paid to participant education with respect to the plan provisions, investment selections, and planning for retirement.
Absolutely. Education remains a vital component in preparing, or rather in protecting, plan sponsors and participants and helping them to be more informed consumers across our industry. I think we might have time to squeeze in one more question before we wrap up today. So I'd like to ask Eric. Eric, you've both seen firsthand the benefits to applying a procurement supply chain management approach to the purchase of retirement plan services, such as audit services. In fact, Michelle, you alluded to this earlier, that this is one of the issues, is that we're not using that procurement process with value and expertise in mind. Eric, do you feel that supply chain management procurement approach is part of the solution to the issues that we've talked about today?
Oh, absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind that procurement plays a vital role in getting us to this point, and I believe the procurement is also part of the solution as well. Once plan fiduciaries understand the importance of engaging the right professionals to help administer their plans, we will start resolving some of the audit quality issues that we are facing right now. plan sponsors need to understand that auditor selection for an employee benefit plan should receive the same amount of attention and is just as critical as selecting trustees, record keepers, and investment consultants.
Absolutely. It is vital, especially given the DOL's findings and everything else that we've discussed today, that plan administrators more strongly consider the firms that they choose to engage for the audit of their qualified plan. That pretty much brings us to the end of our time together today. Eric and Michelle, I want to thank you both so much for joining us today. We all greatly appreciate your expertise and your participation in the forum.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you, Michelle. Forum members, if you'd like to know more about our experts and their firm, McConnell & Jones, please do stay tuned to your emails. In the coming weeks, we're going to share with you a resource and reference guide with more information about them, their firm, and today's hot topic. We hope you all can make plans to join us for our next podcast in February for an update from Michael McLaughlin with LaPorte CPAs and Business Advisors, who will share his insights with us about year one of the Affordable Care Act and highlights as to what we might expect in the future. And stay tuned again to your emails for information about the date and time of that release. With that, we'll close today's forum session. We thank you all for joining us and have a fantastic day.